Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you love Survivor and you're feeling down, David Bloomberg will turn it around. He'll break down the rules and he'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. This is why Blank lost.
Hello and welcome to this week's very sad edition of Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg and I just lost my winner pick. Joining me is my co-host, a woman who is not a fan of tie votes, Jessica Lewis.
That is me. Thank you so much. I do not like tie votes because horrible things happen when you get to tie votes. Unless, of course, you're Desi and then it's just horrible for you and you alone.
Yes. Yeah.
In my situation, it was horrible for everyone involved because of the rocks. Yeah, of the rocks. Yeah.
So, and all of us watching, we were all traumatized too.
Oh, it was horrible. It was a horrible moment. But anyway, this is about Desi, not about me.
Yeah. So in case anyone is new to this podcast, where have you been? But we'll be talking we'll be talking about the reasons the most recent player was voted out according to a set of rules I originally wrote way back after season one and have been updating ever since. If you want to read all of them, you can do so at robhasawebsite.com/survivor rules. This week, we're talking about Desi, who was not only familiar with these rules, but told Josh Wigler in his preseason interviews that Why Blank Lost was her favorite Survivor podcast.
Yes, and she loved David Bloomberg.
Only because you weren't here yet, so.
Aw. Okay, well, I loved you too, so I was a fan of Desi when she said that.
All right. We all love each other. It is a very loving podcast. until we rip someone's game to shreds, then
yes.
It's not so loving anymore.
And then we start a Twitter war. It's horrible.
Yeah, yes. Since she did talk to Josh in the preseason, we will refer to some of the things she told him as we go through the rules. But before we do that, I want to follow up on last week's topic, which was the other Jessica, and of course, Cole, who took up like 80% of the podcast.
Yes.
The secret scene this week was Cole confessing to the tribe that he and Jessica had a showmance.
Which was incredibly awkward.
Yeah, because they really needed you to pop out of the trees and give a trademark, you think?
They really did, because come on. I mean, the look on everyone's face when he was sharing this bit of information, it was like they were trying to feign surprise, but not very well. It was very, very funny to watch.
Yeah, and then they're asking things like, oh, were you like making out and stuff? And he didn't want to say, well, she gave me a peck on the cheek one time.
Yeah,
you know?
and how about the underwear comment? I mean, really, Ashley, are you wearing her old undies that she left behind? I don't know if I'd do that. But I was a little taken aback when Ashley said that and she asked about the underwear. I was like, whoa. Anyway.
Yeah.
You now, share a lot of things when you're on the island, but I would never share someone's underwear. Just saying.
Well, even Dr. Mike won't do his laundry in the same pot as other people's underwear.
Can I tell you, I have to mention this because you mentioned the laundry in the pot. So we did the same thing. We washed our clothes in the pot. I was a little bit concerned about doing it because I used to just wash my clothes like on a rock and then I would have it hang it out to dry. But people were boiling their clothes. So I thought, all right, why don't I boil my clothes? Well, we left it up to David. David said that he would take care of it for us, David Wright. And so he boiled our clothes in the pot and everything became stained with rust. So my clothes looked worse after they were washed. And I don't know if you noticed, but Chris's shirt went from being blue to orange. That was because it was boiled in the pot. Yeah. So I quickly learned not to ask David Wright to boil anything of mine because, yeah, it literally looked dirtier when it was done.
Well, I think anyway. That's Dr. Mike's shirt, too. That might
be why it looks the way that it does, because boiling in the pot doesn't help. It just makes it look gross. So going on Survivor, keep that in mind.
It's still at least cleaner, I guess. But now the getting back to that secret scene, the other funny thing that Cole said was that now that Jessica is gone, he can worry about his game and not worry about her.
Yeah, the whole thing. I don't know what his thought process was and all of that, but I did find it very interesting as well.
Yeah, now I don't know if you heard, there was a little smack sound there. That was me face palming. Because everything we heard, you know, from Jessica about her spending her time worrying about him, and he thinks that he was taking care of her.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Crazy, crazy. And I think I almost got the feeling that he was spending more time trying to keep it a secret, because we all know Cole's not good at keeping secrets. And that was what his struggle was I didn't want anyone to know that we were actually in a showmance, even though everybody knew you were in a showmance.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. We'll keep it a secret by going off alone.
Yes.
You know, only talking to each other, spending a lot of time on the raft.
Right. Yeah. Kissing on the beach. Of course, yeah. It's very, very secret.
So on the plus side, I guess anyone who eventually has a long-term relationship with Cole never has to worry about him cheating, because they will know in a moment.
That's true. Did you see the car that he sleeps in? It's very tiny.
I think he upgraded. I think on Twitter he upgraded to a larger car now.
I maybe think even he should have. It was like a Prius or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
That was crazy. There's a video out there. If anyone wants to see Cole laying down in his Prius, it's out there.
So one more follow-up, but this one doesn't address Jessica herself. So as you remember, I tweeted at the end of the show last week, and you would remember this because you were sitting next to me, that you and Ceri said that Joe used his idol unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. And Joe replied back to say something we didn't understand about how Cole and Dr. Mike might have flipped and this could have saved him. And it made no sense to us whatsoever last week.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think it does, because both Cole and Dr. Mike flipped to vote with the Hurstlers. And just in case anybody doesn't know, Hurstlers, heroes, hustlers combined.
I love Hurstlers.
Not my creation. Not my creation.
That's
but
fantastic.
So maybe Joe really did see something we didn't see last week. Or, you know, it's also possible he just got his weeks confused.
And that is true, too, because sometimes after the game actually is played and after you watch it on television, I feel like survivors want to explain what they did. And they might use that as an excuse later, but at the time, that wasn't really what was happening. If any of that makes sense to anyone that just heard that.
Yeah.
You know.
So moving on to this week, as we look at who voted for whom, it's clear that Desi was the number one target, not just a backup target. And that not only because she's the one who was voted out after the tie, but because only heroes and hustlers voted for her, while two of the votes against Joe were contracted out to healers, mm-hmm. who would theoretically be less trustworthy votes.
Yes.
So the question we have to answer, of course, then, is why Desi lost.
And I know you were very sad.
Yes. Yes, I was. But at least it didn't happen when we were at New York know-it-alls.
That is true. Because I would have had an even better picture of your reaction.
Yeah. Yeah. Better is in the eye of the beholder. So every week I start by saying that we will, of course, begin with the first rule. But I want to shake things up a bit this week for reasons that will become more obvious as we go along. So we're going to do some bouncing around, and it should all come together nicely in the end.
We hope so.
With that, yes. So with that, we'll start with the fifth rule, which tells players to pretend to be nice and play the social game. In her preseason interview, Desi told Josh that she wanted to lie low and go against her natural inclination to be the boss at the start, then build a resume at the merge. She wanted to make sure not to piss anybody off while also not letting anyone else know that they were pissing her off. All of these are, of course, good plans. So how do you think she did in terms of executing those plans?
I think she struggled a lot in her execution of those plans, because I do think that she managed to not piss anyone off and to keep herself out of the limelight, if you will. But I do think that she was going to hold back her natural inclination to not try to be a bitch or take control. I don't know if that's really her natural inclination. She just seems to be like a naturally good person. And so I don't know if she, if the struggle for her was to not be that way is really who she was going to be if she didn't control it, if that makes any sense.
I'm not quite sure I understood that. No, I have to admit. I was going to nod along and say, okay, but so are you saying that she is, she's naturally a good person, so there wasn't really a struggle there?
Or... No, I think it was interesting because I feel like she was walking into the game feeling like she was going to be struggling with that component of her, like that she was going to have to control the, I want to be in control and I might be mean to people. But I don't think that she's actually a mean person. So I don't know if she really had to struggle with that.
Okay. Okay.
If that
so basically,
makes sense.
Yeah, basically what you're saying is she didn't need to pretend to be nice because she just is nice.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So I think her game plan was she expected herself to be potentially controlling or potentially deceitful or be a mean individual. But once the game started, she realized that that wasn't how she could play this game. She was actually going to be herself. And she even said that in her Ponderosa video, that she never lost her sense of self. So I think she played as she is. I don't know okay. if anything I'm saying makes sense right now, but in my head, it totally does.
No, I think we got it now. I do think you're right. You know, she didn't need to pretend to be nice because she just, like I said, in summarizing what you said, she does seem to just be nice. Now, I found this kind of funny because part of her experience before Survivor was competing in beauty pageants.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling there's a lot more pretending to be nice than actually being nice going around among the competitors there. Or at least that's how it's often portrayed. My experience with being in beauty pageants, somewhat limited. You know, I do think Desi was fine when it came to social interactions in Survivor. As just two examples, on Twitter, Joe called Desi his ride or die and praised her up and down. And Rourke did likewise, describing her as Rourke's ride or die since casting. And in both cases, it was in large part because of her social game, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I do think that the fact that she maintained that friendship with Joe and she saw something in Joe also speaks volumes to her social game, because everyone else was struggling with Joe, but she saw something in Joe that made him an asset to her and saw good qualities in Joe. So I think that her ability to play the social game benefited her in that regard, because the one person that was upsetting everyone was not a problem for Desi.
So Joe was an asset to her, and maybe without the ET to everyone else.
Exactly. Now, I have to ask, are we going to address, you know, Chrissy as we talk about her social game? Because she had some things to say about Chrissy in that
she
regard.
Did. Yeah. She did. And I know there's been a lot of discussion there. I don't know where the appropriate place would be to talk about it. I guess now is as good as any time.
I couldn't figure out really an appropriate place either, so I wasn't sure.
I mean, my guess is you're going to talk about the situation where the four women voted out have all said that Chrissy has a problem with strong women.
See, now you're worried I'm going to jumble all my words again, so you're going to speak for me. But yes.
No, I'm just guessing here.
No, I really, you know, that's exactly what I was going to talk about. I mean, she had some very, very harsh words to say about Chrissy. And the fact that we didn't see that, I think, is also very telling of how she was playing the game, because she didn't allow that to negatively affect her gameplay as it related to Chrissy. But obviously, there were some serious issues with Chrissy, and we never saw it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about this. And I think it's very difficult to really know exactly where to come down. And Rob was talking about it on a patron-only podcast, where it's difficult to say because, okay, is it something that they saw in the game, or is it something that happened after they got out of the game and said, look at what happened to us. It must be that mean old Chrissy.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point. Because in the game, there's been a few comments made that things Chrissy did in the game, like in regards to Desi, she swore on her children when she didn't need to lie about something. So that was clearly gameplay. There was something that I believe Rourke mentioned as well when they were sitting down and talking to each other. And that Rourke, I think it was like she couldn't get a read on Chrissy and just. So there were clearly in-game things, but I do wonder how much of it has developed further as they've left the game and chatted with each other and talked about the very similar things that Chrissy had done to each of them within the game, that perhaps this is now the narrative that's coming out about Chrissy.
Right. And it also seems to presume that Chrissy has a godlike power over the rest of the tribe, that she's in charge of all the votes. And I don't think we've seen that.
I don't think so either. I really don't.
So, you know, I mean, it's out there and we will definitely watch and see what happens. And, you know, we do know that obviously Desi is the first person on the jury. So if Chrissy makes it to the end, it doesn't bode well for her getting a Desi vote.
Right. Although she did say that Chrissy is playing a great game. But I do wonder as well, because obviously when you're voting for people, if you like them or don't like them, has a huge impact on how you vote. And to say that someone is your least favorite person in the world, I don't think you would be then handing them $1 million if you had an option to do so.
Yeah, probably not.
But we'll see.
All right. All right. So now we will move along. We will go in order from number 5 to number 6. And Rule 6 warns players against being too much of a threat. Here we find one place where I think Desi definitely did face a problem. She told Josh in the preseason interview that she thought she'd do well in the challenges, but didn't expect to be comparable to some of the beasts she saw around her. Little did she know, you know, that she actually would do pretty well compared to them. So she wanted to come in and avoid being seen as a threat. Now, when she won that first immunity challenge, the first individual immunity challenge, I wasn't too worried. But then when she did well in the second one and it was clear she'd done well in tribal challenges, I did start to worry. And I even tweeted at the time to say, I know I predicted Joe would go next, but now I'm worried they'll figure he's an easier target and Desi is too tough in challenges and they'll target her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, Desi herself said in a web confessional after winning that first challenge, the previous episode, that she knew it put a possible target on her, but she was worried if she hadn't won, it could have been her getting voted out first at the merge.
Yes. Yeah. And I do think that other people's descriptions of Desi in their pregame interviews all saw that in her, that she looks strong. She looks like she's a competitor. She looked fierce, I think one person said. And then she actually said in one of her interviews that she told her trainer that she wanted to be in the best physical shape she could possibly be before starting this game. And my word, did you see her legs when she was walking in those heels in her Ponderosa video? Oh my gosh. This girl, she is incredibly strong, incredibly strong. And even Ben said that, you know, she's physically strong, she's mentally strong, and she's going to compete with the best of them. So I do think that she was absolutely someone who was going to be a challenge beast potentially if she had continued and was going to be difficult to beat.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, what Ben said is perfect because it shows that her challenge ability was not the only threatening aspect of her.
Right.
Now, what's interesting is that Desi told Mike Bloom in his post-game interview that she had tried a strategy to downplay her intelligence, even changing her word choices. She tried to basically, I mean, she didn't say this, but basically dumb herself down because she didn't want to be seen as a strategic threat. Mm-hmm. It doesn't appear to have worked. And we've already talked about her social game and the fact that, you know, she was very friendly and didn't draw unnecessary attention to herself, which is exactly the type of person who could blend into the background and make a run for the end later if allowed to continue forward. Joe said in a web confessional that with Cole having immunity, he knew it was between himself and Desi. And when we look at all the variables, Desi, I think, was more of a threat.
Yes. And to go back to her pageant background, her ability to communicate with a group of jurors at the end would probably have been easy for her because she's used to being in an environment like that where you have to answer questions on the spot and speak eloquently and make a good point in a short amount of time. So she probably would have done very well in that too.
So we will proceed again in order to rule number 7, which talks about how to get and use idols and advantages. We don't really know how much Desi looked for idols, but we do know she didn't find one.
Yeah.
So I don't really have much to say here. Do you?
Clearly there was an advantage used during this vote that affected her. Not
right.
that she knew about that. And she knew Joe had an idol and knew enough to tell Joe, you should play it for me because you threw me under the bus.
But
other than that, we really, there's not much more to say.
All right. So now we're going to make a jump all the way up to rule number 1. We've talked about, you know, things coming down to Joe and Desi and how Desi was a bigger threat. But so now it's time to address why it came to those two and what Desi could or couldn't have done. So that's why we're back in rule number 1, which says to scheme and plot. I didn't want to start with this rule right off the bat because I think that much of our discussion is going to focus here and in a couple others that will come up here. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really want us to say everything we had to say in the first few minutes of the podcast.
And considering I like totally blew the first few minutes of the podcast, maybe it would have been better.
No. So after Desi told Josh in his preseason interview that Why Blank Lost was her favorite, she said she was trying not to quote the rules, but added that it's obviously advantageous to scheme and plot in the game, which is something she doesn't do in her real life. Though then she noted that she may manipulate her students more than they realize, so she has some experience in that area. Fast forward to this past week, and I want to point to something she told Josh now that her time in the game is done. She said she wants people to know that she was playing the game even though it wasn't shown. She was having conversations with people and trying to form relationships. It's just that those people decided to go against her and Survivor producers chose not to show any of it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
In Desi's interview with Rob, he asked her if she felt she followed these rules or if she would say that these rules are flawed. Now, I'm sure if you had been there, you'd have yelled objection for that, you know, leading the witness there.
He really was leading her, I must say.
But Desi didn't fall for it. And, you know, she told him the rules are still good ones to follow, which is good because, you know, we're still here. But she just wasn't able to do it. I think she was clearly talking about this rule, saying she couldn't separate real life Desi from game Desi in order to scheme and plot and lie to people. It's just not who she is. And it was so much harder than she thought it would be. She thought she'd do whatever it took to win, but then her personal moral code got in the way and, you know, she couldn't scheme and plot to the fullest extent necessary. Though she did say that she talked to various people like Ben, Lauren, Devin, and Ashley about working together.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that because she probably wasn't as integral to those discussions with the scheming and plotting, obviously doesn't help the storyline. And so we're not going to see that. One of the things that she had referenced was the initial discussion between who the healers were all going to vote for was Lauren. But then there was another conversation that occurred when she was off on a walk for one of her confessionals and then things got changed. And so she wasn't able to then hear that things had been changed and they were now going to vote for Ben. And so it doesn't help the story. And so you don't see that. Obviously, we hear about it later. But I do feel like she kind of got lost in that production of the story that CBS is trying to tell. And if she's not leading the charge or bringing people down a certain path, then yeah, we're not going to see it, unfortunately. And I
right.
think it was a struggle for her. I really think it was hard for her to separate herself and play a game when that morally wasn't the person that she was comfortable being. And that when you're out there, that becomes incredibly hard to do.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because on the RHAP B&B with Mike and Liana, they did a game where it was guess who had fewer confessionals than Desi. And
oh,
there
no.
weren't many people. There were not many people, especially none who had been in the game as long as she was.
Really?
And yeah, she only had 8 confessionals the entire 8 episodes she was there.
Wow. Yeah, that's sad, because I do think that, you know, here's the thing, too. I think that when it comes to individuals being on this show, obviously CBS really appreciates a character. They really appreciate someone who's out there, kind of like a Joe who's really going to be kind of outlandish and loud and brash and make people have guttural reactions to things he's saying and doing. And we just saw that this week with this conversation with Ben that got a little heated and ugly. Those are the people that obviously are going to get more time because they're the ones that are a little more entertaining. I think Desi was probably playing this game as she quickly realized the way that she would live her life, that she can't scheme and plot the way that she wants to because that's not who she is as a person. And so she was playing this game as a person in her real life, but living on an island with people she didn't know. And because of that, she's not as interesting. And I think that that becomes hard for the producers because they want more interesting dynamics. And if you are out there just trying to be a good person, but still trying to win $1 million and play a good game, you don't get as much airtime.
Right. Now, we did see a little scheming and plotting that she did. For example, back during the Swap Tribe days, she told Ashley and Devin that she would turn on Joe, which mm-hmm. was exactly the right thing to say, whether or not, you know, she was telling the truth. And even before that, she was the one who saw Ashley and Devin hug to seal their alliance back when both duos in that Swap Tribe were trying to get Devin to their side.
Mm-hmm.
She then passed that information to Joe, who used it to make himself a target so he could use the idol. So she did some smart things that we saw, but one problem seems to be that she didn't fully continue those relationships, you know, that she had made on the Swap Tribe other than with Joe. And, you know, she didn't let them know that she was definitely available. She said in interviews that her biggest downfall may have been that she's not the type of person who needs reassurance over and over again. So she would talk to someone, then check in before tribal council, but not have repeated conversations.
Mm-hmm.
She now realizes that's not how people act on Survivor, where everyone is paranoid. And, you know, even Jeff Probst told Josh this week that he thinks her laid back style hurt her in the game. And I think this goes to the discussion of checking in that I added to the rules for this season, because we've seen an uptick in players talking about how important it is.
Yes. Yes. And I do think that her laid back style was very present in the scene where Alan and Joe were having that fight way back, you know, after the swap, right. And the two of them were really kind of going at it. And Desi was there for the entire thing, at least from what we saw. She was physically present, but she didn't say anything. She never got involved. And maybe that was a good call for her at the time, because Joe was obviously taking the heat. But in doing so, the heat was then being put on Desi. And that's the type of moment where you do have to step up and start speaking on your own behalf, because Joe is becoming your voice. And that put her in a really, really difficult spot. And she saw it, but she didn't say anything about it. So right. that laid back approach, I do think, hurt her in that regard. And not because she was necessarily associated with Joe, but because she was one of the healers. And if the healers are becoming the targets, she really needed to work on making herself not a target. And something like what Mike and Cole did, they flipped on the healers. She had an opportunity to do that, because I feel like she did have those relationships that, like you said, she didn't revisit.
Yeah, now that does, you know, lead to my next point and the question of, okay, what could she have done in terms of scheming, plotting, and lying that would have changed the outcome for her? Because, you know, like we've been talking about, the Hurstlers clearly want to pagong the healers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, time will tell if that actually happens. But I suspect that at least one healer will survive the massacre. And I also suspect that one healer will be Dr. Mike,
mm-hmm.
Because he's both the least threatening from a physical perspective, and also I think the one who has made the most inroads from a game and social perspective. If Desi had put aside her moral dilemma, do you think she could have become what I think Dr. Mike is becoming?
I don't know if she ever could have, because Dr. Mike and she come from a very different place. She studied the game recently because she wasn't someone who avidly watched the game. And she talked about that, how she basically crammed and then started really studying. Whereas someone like Dr. Mike has been watching this game since its inception and has continued to watch it. So when he was studying up or going or preparing to go on the show, he had already done all of the things that she was trying to play catch up on. And so he was in, I think, a different place mentally as to how to approach the game. He was even studying Jeff Probst. I found a secret scene with him. And he went so far as to study interviews of how Jeff Probst asks questions. And that, to me, puts Mike in a much different playing field. And so that's probably why Desi had the laid-back approach to this game, because she didn't realize how in the moment you have to be in this game, and that you and everything that you do is going to speak volumes. And I think Dr. Mike understands that. So I don't know if she really could have done anything other than have been a Survivor fan for longer than she was. And that's impossible to fix, but she tried. Right. She clearly tried, and she listened to you and tried to use the rules that you've created for this game. But she's up against someone like Dr. Mike, who is a student of the game, and I don't know how she could have taken his place.
Okay, so I agree for slightly different reasons, because one, as we've already talked about, she's much more threatening than Dr. Mike. But perhaps more importantly, I think the only people she had a good chance to get to know were Ashley and Devin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while Devin has some leadership within the Hurstlers, he has, by his own admission, been lying low strategically. And the current decision makers seem to be the likes of, seems to be like Ben and Lauren.
Yeah.
Both of whom were tight with Dr. Mike because of their swap tribe. They've never been tight with Desi. They might have talked to her. They've had conversations, but they've never been tight the same way they were tight with Dr. Mike. So they would have had no reason to keep Desi anyway.
Yeah. And I feel like Dr. Mike put himself in a really good position by creating that close relationship with Lauren, who has that close relationship with Ben. He's positioned himself very nicely. Her options were very, very limited. And Ashley, I don't see, could have done much to further her game. And Devin, as you said, he's kind of following Ryan's lead, and this is where Ryan wants to go. And so that's what Devin is doing. So it's good for Devin because it's helping his game. But yeah, I don't know if she really had very many options other than to try and, well, other than really turning on Joe, which she clearly wasn't going to do. Her only option really was to turn on Joe.
Right. And so that's the very next question. Do I still think Desi should have voted for Joe in this, in what ended up being her final tribal council? And the answer is yes. I mean, it would have given her 3 more days in the game. And you never know what can happen in 3 days. You can win immunity. Cole could piss off enough players to make him target number one at the next tribal council. Someone could get medevaced. I mean,
yeah.
3 more days sometimes can turn into a whole lot more.
Yes. And the thing that I think she should have realized in that moment was all of the reasons why she didn't want to turn on Joe, setting aside real life, because I know we're going to talk about that too, but just game wise. No one would have been upset with her for voting out Joe. Clearly, Cole and Mike were willing to vote against the healers and vote out Joe. So it's not like she would have shined a light on herself if she had voted out Joe, because you've got Cole and Mike doing the same thing. And I feel like people would have understood why she decided to vote out Joe. So overall, it wouldn't have hurt her game. It would have allowed her to stay for 3 more days at least, because it's not like there had been such a clear division in sides and we're on this side and you're on that side. It was between her and Joe, who were both on the same side.
Right. Now, on the RHAP B&B, Liana mentioned what you had talked about, that you didn't flip at the what ended up being your last tribal council, mm-hmm. too. And you went to Rocks because you knew that your game was in trouble, you know, in more trouble if you flipped. Now, to me, there's a pretty big difference between saying, I'm not going to flip. I'm willing to go to rocks and take a chance.
Yes.
As opposed to, I'm not going to flip and I'm definitely getting voted out.
Yes. And that's the thing, that in the situation that we were at when we were deadlocked right before we went to rocks, there was such a clear division between who was playing with who and who was loyal to who. And I was already in a bad spot because clearly the people on the other side wanted me to go home. They had tried to vote me out, the tribal council before, and I had been a target since early on in the game from many of the people that were still in the game on that other side. So if I had flipped, it wasn't going to help me win the game. I might have lasted a little bit longer, but even if I'd gotten to the end, and I've explained all this to you, I wasn't winning. So the loyalty was so important at that point. And I would rather take my chance and stay and then be able to say, I picked rocks and that's why I should win this game. But yeah, in Desi's situation, it's either you switch your vote or you go home, because there will be no rock draw because you're going to be the one going home. So yeah, I feel like that really was her only option. I get it. I understand, because I clearly had a very similar dilemma and struggle while I was out there, because you do have to try to separate real life from the game, and it's utterly impossible to do. And I think that that's really what it came down to for her.
So you mentioned, you know, the separation of real life, and I mean, we've discussed that now. And I think that takes us naturally to rule four. So I'm going to do more jumping here. We're going from one to four, because that's the rule that tells players not to let their emotions control them. And, you know, honestly, this is the main reason we're looking at the rules out of order this week, because as we've discussed, Desi knew about scheming and plotting and lying, but she couldn't break out of her personal moral code to do it. In other words, she wasn't able to get past her emotions. This was specifically the case in this last tribal council because, you know, as we've just discussed, she suspected, and she probably knew, if she had just voted for Joe, she would have been safe. But she couldn't do it because Joe was, by that point, her closest ally and the only person she could trust. And, you know, what she has said is she was afraid that if she did that, it would impact her life emotionally beyond the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said it's become something so much bigger than the game of Survivor. That's pretty deep. That's pretty deep for sure.
You know, and I've seen some people say, come on, you know, did she really think that it was going to affect her real life? And, you know, this is something obviously you can speak to better than I can, but it seems to me that when you're there, everything is heightened. Your trust issues, your paranoia. And I feel like to her, it really did seem like if she made this one lie, this big lie, this big flip, that she would have trust issues forever, even though, you know, if she had done it, she probably later would have looked back at it and said, okay, I could live with that. But I think in the moment, you know, it seemed much bigger.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic to struggle with. And when you're out on the island and you're playing this game, I spent a significant amount of time reminding myself that I was going to have to go home and I was going to have to continue to have my job and continue to have my life and my family and my children and my husband. And you think about all of these things when you're out there. And even though people say it's just a game that is going to be on national television that millions of people are going to watch, and you will forever be associated with how you played that game. And I've heard a lot of survivors go on to, you know, have interviews after the game and actually explain, I got permission from my family to do whatever I needed to do to win. I know that Tony talked about that. Sarah talked about that. And when she changed her game completely the first time she played it versus when she came back on Game Changers. And she explained how she got permission to play a much different game and to be deceitful and to do things that, I think Andrea said it in the final tribal, made people feel uncomfortable. But you can't separate yourself from real life when you're out there, because that's what you're thinking about all the time. And you're constantly worried about how will you be perceived and viewed when people then see you on television doing whatever it is that you're doing. And you see someone like Joe, who now is struggling with that on Twitter. He has constant battles with people on Twitter who are calling him out for things that he has said and done on the show. And so he's still defending the game that he played in his real life, even though he played a game out on an island months and months and months ago. So I totally understand her dilemma and her struggle, because you do think about that when you're out there, and the game stops when the television cameras stop rolling. But the effects that it can have on you are everlasting. When you meet people, when you go to a job interview, when you might see someone on the street, when you might even see someone you've played the game with who isn't over what has happened on the island. So I totally get her struggle. And I understand that if that wasn't morally something that she could do, how it could have a long term effect on her.
All right. Now, all that said, we still say it's something she should have done.
Yes. And that's the part where you have to look at the move and decide, are you going to be forgiven for that move? And I do think that this is a move that people would have forgave her for, because it would have made sense. She was in a situation where it was either she was going home or Joe was going home. And she knew that going into tribal council, it's me or Joe. And I think in that type of situation, people would have forgiven her for that decision, because it would have made sense for her game, and it would have made sense with where the game was or what was happening in the game in regards to Joe. And that's what you have to kind of decide, is this decision going to be something that will make sense and people will look at it and go, yeah, I get that, and then be able to forgive you later. If that's something that you struggle with, and she clearly was, then that's something you would think about in making that decision at that time.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting to me is that, you know, Joe was in the same position as Desi, and, you know, he probably had just as much reason to think he could have been the target. And he also didn't write Desi's name down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he even tweeted after the episode, "I would never write her name down, call it stupid, but I never did." And so I have to wonder, if Desi had allowed, you know, put aside her moral self and gone ahead to write down Joe's name, would she have given it away? You know, would she have basically flinched in front of him such that he would have realized it and then written her name down too, which would have made the whole situation moot? You know, or would she have been a good enough actress to, you know, tell him to his face, "We're staying solid," and then vote him out? I mean, obviously, we'll never know, but it's just, you know, an interesting hypothetical, I think.
No, it is interesting. And I do think that hearing what her explanation of it now, I don't know if she could pretend to do that. I think that, you know, he might be able to read that on her face, too. You know, he's good at reading faces. So he might have read that on her face.
All right. So now let's move backwards to the second rule, which we can, I think, blow through pretty quickly, because it discusses how players need to avoid scheming and plotting too much. Seems pretty clear to me there isn't anything to talk about here.
I agree.
Okay. So
I was just on my soapbox, so, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. So then we move to rule 3, which oddly is the last one we will be talking about. So for anyone keeping score at home, rule 3 is the last rule this time. It tells players that they need to be flexible. How do you think Desi did here?
Well, clearly she wasn't very flexible, because she couldn't get away from Joe. She had kind of solidified herself with him because, for good reasons, he was extremely loyal to her. And she said he kind of wore everything on his sleeves. So she knew where he was coming from. She knew where he was going to be voting and what his thoughts were, because he told everybody what he thought. So I think, for her, that flexibility was lacking, because she had really kind of aligned herself so strongly with Joe that I don't know if she would have been able to go against him when she really, like in this particular vote, she really needed to. And so I don't think her flexibility was too great.
Yeah, you have summed up everything I was going to say. So I have nothing else to add for that.
See, I did so much better on that one. See, you threw me off. You start with, like, what was it, rule 5 we did first? And I had no idea what I was talking about. So please forgive me, listeners out there.
All right. So now that we're done with the rules, we can move into Appendix A. And we are still in the time frame where players should be voting out the strong. And I think it's pretty clear that they did that this time.
Yes, they listened to you.
Yes. She must have told them. That would have been bad advice for her to tell them that.
That would have been bad advice.
You know, she had showed her challenge abilities, not only by winning the first individual immunity challenge and doing well in the second, but also, as we mentioned, through her performance in tribal challenges earlier in the game. And the other potential target, Joe, he just hasn't shown much strength in recent challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't just her physical ability that made her a strong target, because in Rule 6, which was like the second one we discussed, we talked about what made her a threat compared to Joe. The other players had a choice: vote against Joe the jerk and idol magnet, or Desi the challenge performer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had Joe right where they wanted him in terms of voting him out when he didn't have an idol, but they also had Desi right where they wanted her, vulnerable after not having won immunity.
Yeah.
And, you know, between the two, I'd say Desi was, well, not I'd say, just, you know, a fact when you're looking at the numbers, Desi was more likely to win immunity compared to the likelihood of Joe finding another idol. And, you know, Desi is certainly nicer and easier to get along with, which means she could possibly interfere with their plans. Whereas right now, Joe is a pariah and no one's going to flip to his side.
Yes. Yes. That's a great point, because that's something that Ben actually talked about, getting to the seven and how one person could mess all of that up. And so he was kind of referring to himself as being a babysitter and trying to make sure that everyone was staying where they were supposed to be so they can get to that seven. And he might have been referencing someone like Desi, because Joe is not going to be someone who can cause that to happen, because no one is going to want to play with Joe. But Desi, I could see people wanting to play with Desi.
Right. And, you know, I'm sure that they're thinking they could let him stay in for several more votes and not really worry about it. And as Steven said on Know It Alls, you want to vote out the person who's less conspicuous. Nobody is ever going to forget Joe is there.
Yes.
And, you know, if by some miracle he gets to the end, he's also going to be a lot easier to beat, because he's just pissed off so many people.
Yeah. Yep. But she did make a funny point, though. If he makes it to the final three, he might still have a shot, because how the hell is he going to make it to the final three?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So before I sum up my conclusions, do you have any other final thoughts about Desi?
I really feel for Desi. I do think that she went into this game believing that she could be someone that she's just not. I don't think she's someone who is manipulative and a backstabber or interested in being deceitful and lying. And that, unfortunately, the way that this game has developed over the years, you have to have a comfort with that, and you have to be able to do that and turn your back on people that you've told you'll be loyal to, or you've acted as if you would be loyal to. So I think she got a strong lesson in Survivor 101. And though she studied up and listened to your rules and knew what she needed to do to play this game, she couldn't remove herself from the game as much as she necessarily needed to. So I feel for her. I think that Desi had incredible promise. People spoke very highly of her in their pregame interviews. They saw her for what she was, and I think she would have been a fantastic person in the final three. I think her ability to speak would have been clearly shown. She was clearly great in the challenges. And so, yeah, she was, as Jeff Probst said, the entire package. Unfortunately for Desi, her moral compass got in the way.
Yes, and I would agree. You know, I think playing Survivor requires a combination of skills. And most importantly, you don't just need to know what to do, but, you know, like you said, you have to be willing to do it when the time comes. Desi studied what are clearly the most important points of what to do in the game, but not everyone can turn off their emotions and morals and play Survivor like a game. Yeah, you know, that's one thing I think that makes Survivor such a great game, is it combines real people in a society where you have to both live with other people and play against them. So, like you said, Desi knew what she needed to do, but she drew a line and she wouldn't cross it. It certainly didn't help that she was in a bad situation on the targeted healers tribe and had shown herself to be a bigger threat than the others. But to get out of that situation, she didn't lie, scheme, and plot to the extent necessary. And that is why Desi lost.
Sorry, Desi.
Yes.
We still love you.
Yes, we do. Now, moving for predictions. So both of us had the same prediction for the same reasons for the past 2 weeks.
I know.
So my plan of having you go first both times didn't work. But if at first and second you don't succeed, try again.
Try again.
Now, I have a feeling we're going to end up picking the same person again, but let's see what you have to say.
I think we probably will pick the same person. I believe that Cole is going to survive another week. I just feel it. I think he's probably going to win another immunity challenge just to throw everything off. But regardless, I think that where we see the dynamics of the tribe, and we've already said Mike is positioning himself in a really good place as far as being with Lauren and Ben, that seven will stay together. And I think Joe is going to be going home this week. I really
do. Okay, well, we're actually picking different people.
Ooh, this is fun. Who are you picking?
So, you already mentioned his name.
Cole.
Yes. You know, a number of the heroes and hustlers have talked in web confessionals about wanting to eliminate all the healers. So, as I've already indicated, I think the pagonging will keep going, at least for this week. We know Ben is more than sick and tired of Cole. He said in a web confessional that Cole was being a big baby around camp. After Jessica left, Cole said he'd do anything to stay. But then Ben heard Cole was putting Ben's name out there.
Mm-hmm.
So if Cole doesn't win immunity, I'm sure there will be a contingent that wants him gone.
But the same can be said about Joe as it relates to Ben. He and Ben had some heated words exchanged.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. So I think that, I don't know. I feel like Joe's been very quiet on Twitter. So I'm reading too much into that, too.
You apparently didn't see the one he launched at Chaos Cast.
Oh, no. I saw that one. But I just mean it hasn't been coming in as many bursts as it has been previously. So I did see the response to Chaos Cast, and that was a lot. But it just seems to be a little bit quieter, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean. There is, you know, there are a couple things that could prevent Cole from being voted out. One is they all do seem to think that he has the immunity item.
Yes.
But we know from the previews that Ryan tells both Ben and Devin separately that he got the idol. So now I'm going to ignore for now this idea that all of a sudden Devin is going to turn against Ryan or Ben. And, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. But it should make it less of a gamble to vote out Cole. And, you know, really, they have the numbers to split the vote anyway. If Cole should win immunity again, then yes, you're absolutely right. They will go to Joe.
I think Cole's winning immunity. That's my guess.
Okay. Well, my official prediction is Cole. So I think one of us will be right this week, unless something really weird happens.
That's true. Something crazy could happen.
You know, the other thing is, and I know that they don't really schedule this way, but it's the night before Thanksgiving. And why not throw a kind of a boring vote episode on the night before Thanksgiving?
I know, but you can't, because you can't control it. It's whoever goes home that week.
I know, but I mean, they're, you know, sometimes they have two episodes earlier in the season, you know, in one night. Sometimes they have it on Thanksgiving week. This year they're having it the following week.
Right. Now, I should remind you that my episode was the Thanksgiving Day episode, where it was two episodes. It was 2 hours of Survivor, and I was in the second half when we did the rock draw. That
was the
certainly
first hour?
Hmm?
What was the first hour?
Chris was out first.
Okay. Yeah,
it was. So it was between Chris and I, so I was like, yeah, I look really awesome for the first hour. And then, you know,
that's the second hour happened, and then the Steven when Steven got voted out in the second hour after having survived the first hour. So, yeah, you may be right. I don't know why they chose to make the double one the week after Thanksgiving this time.
Yeah, I don't know either. But who knows? I mean, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be Joe.
All right. Well, we'll see. Like I said, almost certainly one of us will be right.
Yes.
Unless something really bizarre happens.
Yes. And that things can happen.
Yes. All right. So we are at the point in the show where we need a hashtag.
Listen, can I tell you, I don't think people really appreciate the hashtags very much.
They don't. Why not?
Well, I search and it doesn't seem like they're getting used that often. But listen,
well, there's a few.
There is a few. And I appreciate it when I see them. And obviously the hashtag of why blank lost is, you know, why X lost is fantastic. But so I had a really good one. And it was about David Bloomberg. So okay. I did actually search your name. Like I just said, hashtag David Bloomberg. And it is actually out there a little bit. So, but.
Don't believe everything you read.
But yeah, I think that it should be sorry, David Bloomberg. Hashtag sorry, David Bloomberg. That was my choice for this week. Because she was your winner pick. And my winner pick went home, so I'm not trying to rub it in your face. You did a better job than I did, because yours actually made it to the jury. So I still love your work, but I'm just saying.
That sounds awful long. How about just sorry, David?
Oh, that's good. I like that. Unless you had a better one.
No, I did not. But I don't know if you noticed, you know, they've expanded the amount of characters you can put as your name, not as your Twitter handle, but as your Twitter name. Have you noticed what my Twitter name is now?
No, you changed your Twitter name?
Yes. Not my handle, but my full name is now David hashtag YX Lost Bloomberg.
Wow.
Now you could change that all the time.
That's fancy. I like it.
Yes. Actually, it's David YX hashtag YX Lost Bloomberg. And then the Vulcan hand.
I remember the Vulcan hand. Yes.
Got to get both, you know, of the podcasts that I've done.
Yes, you got to get them in there.
Also did a couple of the Star Trek Discovery podcasts with Rob. So if anyone has missed those, Rob and I actually wrapped up the fall finale of Star Trek Discovery last week. And I like to call it Why Cole Lost. Cole, different spelling. And also, you know, there was the question of, was Lorca scheming and plotting too much? You know, is Lieutenant Ash Tyler just pretending to be nice? All these things come out. So
I'm telling you, the rules that you have created, they can carry over into so many other realms of this world and in other worlds combined. So
yes,
I can see this spreading out beyond Survivor.
Yes. Well, I used to have these rules variants of these rules used to cover Big Brother, The Apprentice, American Idol. Even I think someone adapted them. Someone on the website adapted them to, I feel like, America's Next Top Model.
Really? Interesting. So, I used to love that show.
I never watched it.
Oh, that was a good one.
Actually, I think I watched the first season. So
you want to talk about scheming and plotting? Yes, that's a good one.
Yes. So, all right. Well, we've gone a bit far afield here. But,
yes, we have.
So anyone who, you know, likes the Star Trek Discovery podcast, please listen to that. And everyone should, of course, make sure that you are subscribed to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts by going to robhasapodcast.com/survivor. We are also on the Reality TV Rehapups feed. And in both places, you can find great RHAP content. There's, of course, the Know-It-Alls. There's a recap show. There's a voicemail, the Wiggle Room, the RHAP B&B, which I referenced a couple times today, and much more. Also, you know, Rob has blogs, too. So be sure to check out the various blogs at robhasawebsite.com/blog. And when I say Rob has blogs, I actually mean Rob has bloggers. So you can follow Jessica on Twitter at JessicaLewis89. I'm at David Bloomberg. Like I said before, Twitter handle the same, name is different.
Yes, follow us on Twitter.
Thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who worked tirelessly behind the scenes to do the editing on all the Why Blank Lost podcasts. Thanks, as always, to Will from America for the theme song. And last but definitely not least, thanks to you, Jessica, for another fun episode.
Well, thank you, David Bloomberg, and the same to you. This is always fabulous.
We hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving, and we will see you back here a week from now. Bye.
Bye. And you're feeling down,
David Bloomberg will turn it around. He'll break down the rules and he'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. This is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.